few weeks back, I made the observation that we were facing a bunch of Sundays in a row, four of them in fact, wherein the theme and basic point of the gospel story was pretty much the same, all talking about the end of time and the judgment, that there will be a final day for us as persons and also for the entire cosmos. So that was 4 weeks ago. Today is number four Sunday out of four, the last one that deals with the same idea of the end, what that means for all of us. And I made the comment back then that to kind of get at the differences in each particular gospel, we had to unpack them a little bit, different angles on each one. So the first one of these things is about the maidens, the virgins, who are wise and foolish, the idea being we should stay steadfast with our Lord all the way to the end, all the way till he comes. We talked about that. After that, we have the talents, goes given out to the servants as a test upon the master's return. The idea being we should be faithful to the gospel entrusted to us and share it abundantly with those that we meet. Last week, Christ King, and the idea that we're going to be assessed or judged at the end based on how well we welcome the messengers of Christ into the world, the missionaries, or perhaps how well we welcome the least in our midst. So all that has been leading up to this point. So today, last one, again on the end. And so what about this one? Where does this one land in the whole spectrum of how to understand the end? I would say this, we take it in the context of the season that we start today. Advent begins, and a new gospel begins too. We leave Matthew behind to pick up Mark with his fast-paced, beautiful, very mission-driven text. He's going to have his own take on the end. And maybe, therefore, the way to unpack this one and nuance this same theme in a new way, we take it in the context of the season. Because one thing that Advent wants to engender in our hearts as a season is a sense of, I would say, perspective and peace about how to handle what comes at us in the world. So how does one get down to that peace and perspective based on this gospel for today? So how about this? Okay, first of all, we don't want to minimize the things that can make us upset. If our peace is robbed, something's working on us that's challenging, and we don't want to diminish those things. Life has challenges, personally and culturally and globally. So things come at us all the time. Things at home, things at work, things in a marriage, things in a family, things in a parish. Things on the national front, on the global front. There's no shortage of stuff to get us all upset and concerned about things in life. So we don't want to ignore that stuff. We don't want to minimize those things. We want to meet them head on, deal with them with the gifts that we've been given and the tools at our disposal that God very kindly offers to us. So all that is true, okay? But if I may say it this way, one reason why the teaching about the end of times is such a gift to us and to the world is that it puts those things in perspective. To put it very plainly, none of those things are the end of the world. We'll know it when it comes. That's what Jesus is trying to say. He says to us in the gospel, when I do come in my glory and in my fullness, at the end of days to judge you and the entire world, there'll be no mistaking, no compromising, no messing this up. You're going to know when the end is here. Therefore, don't chase after everything else as though it's the end of the world. Don't get panicky about things you shouldn't be panicky about. Take them seriously, of course, but take them in perspective. So in the light of 2020, which has been its own sort of, challenging year, with one end of world scenario after the other we have faced, depending upon who you ask, God says to us, as hard as this one happened to be, it's not the end. You'll know it when it's the end, and this ain't it, okay? One must understand that. That perspective has guided the church throughout history and society throughout history over and over again, because the challenges come at us over and over and over again. And a Christian says, I understand it, I see it, I confront it, I'm not going to panic about it, not going to be anxious about it, I'll keep it in the entire plan of God, which unfolds as it needs to. So as if to say, since nothing else is the end, then what are you really afraid of? God's trying to say, what's the worst that could happen to you? Maybe the worst thing is that we're going to die, and the fact is we're all going to die at some point. That's the reality we have to remind ourselves of a lot these days. And the Christian says, well, fine. We don't want that, but we deal with it in the hope of the resurrection that's promised to the baptized. All of us who die in the merciful friendship of Jesus Christ are offered the gift of the life to come. So even death is relativized and is knocked down some notches on the fear scale because it's been conquered. Everything has been conquered. Whatever we can conjure up in the world, whatever comes at us, we have to see it with a peace of heart that says, it ain't the end. This is not the end. It belongs in its proper place. So, to take this gospel, number 4 out of the 4 about the end of times, I think we see it as Advent people, as the gift that offers perspective on life. No matter what it is that's so scary, and there's lots of things that are scary, it's not the end. We'll know it when it comes. And when it does come, we as believers will welcome it, we'll embrace it, because we're going to be the friend of God that he calls us to be. We will not fear the judgment end of days, because we will know who our Maker is and his love for us when he comes. No mistaking, no mistaking. So it grounds us and stabilizes us and keeps us going forward. When the rest of the world thinks it's falling apart, we say, nope, we're not going to fall for that. God's in charge. Onward we go, onward we go. So that's the first piece, right? Perspective. Which brings, I hope anyhow, peace of heart for the Advent season and for beyond. Second point, though, would be this from the gospel, okay, and it's related. Mark, in our text for today, uses the word watch a bunch of times. He says it over and over again, watch, 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 watch. So Mark, I'd say more than Matthew, more than Luke, more than John, is very keen on painting this picture of the second coming as something for which we have to be extremely alert for. Pay careful attention, he's trying to say. Watch, 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 watch. That's the word for the opening of our Advent season. How does one understand this, especially if we're trying to get some sort of peace of heart about life, you know? I'll be honest with you, honestly, as I hear this text and I pray with it, my first reaction is, I don't want to watch for anything else this year. I'm done watching for things. I'm done being on alert. I can't handle one more news story, Twitter thing, memo from the diocese, public health department notice, news story, election disaster. I don't care. Pick the thing. I'm all watched out. And in fact, to be really honest, I'd rather just sort of fall asleep and wake up when the world is ending. That would be great. Now, it's not good to ignore the Lord's commands, obviously, as the lightning strikes me in front of all of you, okay? So that can't be what he means. There must be something else going on here. How am I supposed to understand his command to be watchful, even though I don't really feel like it anymore after this year of fun? What does he mean? Something else must be at work, because Advent is not supposed to stir us into a frenzy. It's not supposed to get us all riled up needlessly. What is he talking about? One must get at the context of the example, and it's a very good example. Jesus is saying to his listeners, think of it like this. This is like a landowner, a lord, who goes away, and he leaves in charge behind him his steward and the workers on the estate. And when he comes back, he wants to find them ready. You don't know when he's coming back, so be ready when he comes. Now, think about this for a second. What is the way to make the Lord happy, as in the Lord of the Manor, the property owner? It's not going to be to stand there the entire time he's gone, watching the horizon, waiting, 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 waiting for him to come back. It's not going to be, let's be at the window with our eyes pressed to the window. Is he coming? Is he coming? Is he coming? It's not to get keyed up. It's not to get all anxious. What the property owner wants is for everyone to do their job while he's gone. When he comes home, what does he want to have going on? He wants to have the crops being brought in, things being harvested, equipment being repaired, the food being prepared, the animals being fed, things getting ready for the winter, the spring planting getting accomplished. He wants things to just keep running like they're supposed to. So in the context of this story, the way to be watchful and ready for the coming of the return of the Master is to be about our business, simply, quietly, humbly, with patience and persistence, prayerful perseverance, obedience, and the subtleties of daily life. That's what it means to live watchfulness in the context of the gospel story. So same thing for us today. When the church says to us, and the gospel says to us, watch, 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 it's not to get us all the more keyed up than we already are this year, watching every possible breaking news story. God wants to come back and find us, if I may say this, at our email, doing laundry, cooking dinner, at our workbench, doing our homework, helping the kids with homework, going about our day, being with people as much as we can be in our odd circumstances, taking care of the sick, helping the poor, helping those in need, just doing our basic, ordinary, plain old thing with a sense of prayerfulness in our hearts, knowing that God is with us in that all the while. So he loves the ordinary, you might say. So what he's trying to say to us is, this year, you don't have to watch one more thing. You don't have to be always on the television, on the news feed, on the social media. Watch doesn't mean that this year. Don't go crazy, he says, with one more news announcement. That's not how God comes into the world. Just do your ordinary, basic, plain old thing. That is the story of Advent 2020. Watch means do your job and do it as well as you can in the most ordinary, simple way that you can. As a friend of mine likes to say who has 8 kids, she says, I get saved one load of laundry at a time in what she calls the monotony of salvation. It's just the way it goes. As life rolls across our screen, we just kind of roll with it. And then when God comes back, he finds us doing our job, doing our job. Hopefully with love in our hearts, hope in our hearts, trust in our hearts, prayer in our hearts, and I think peace in our hearts because of the perspective that the end offers us. We don't worry about when he comes back because we're just doing our simple, basic thing. And if we can do that, then just think of what a great witness to the world the Christian church is going to be. When everybody else is freaking out and panicking about who knows what on any given day, we're kind of going, just doing our job here. God's in charge. Do my thing. You do your thing. We maintain in the world a face of God who is in charge. He is in charge, and we show it by our ordinary daily lives. So that's kind of the deal that I'm pitching here, right? So the end, long story short, the end brings needed perspective to a world that has a habit of chasing after the latest panic. We've done it for centuries, and Christians always say, nah, not going to fall for it. The world ain't ending. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So perspective and, I think, patience, simple, ordinary perseverance. Live the ordinary, God says, as much as you possibly can, and I'll find you back at that work when I come back, and as I do, you'll be in my friendship, my daily, simple, ordinary, ordinary friendship. Nothing glitzy, ordinary. That's the rule. With that, we have peace, we have clarity, and our arms are wide open to welcome the one who wants to come, and be in our midst in the way that brings us the fullness of salvation and the fullness of his peace.